Oh, I hate goodbyes. Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts President Mary Grant is reflecting on her time at the college as she enters her final semester. Last month, she announced that she would be the next chancellor at the University of North Carolina at Asheville. She is the 11th person to hold the office at MCLA. She was the first alumna. She got an undergraduate sociology degree from then North Adams State College. She'll finish out the fall semester at MCLA before assuming the chancellery position at UNC Asheville on January 5th, replacing Ann Ponder, who is retiring after 9 years at the helm. We should note it is not a job she applied for, but they came knocking on her door, and who was she to say no? So before she heads south, she is in our studio this morning, and it's a delight, as it always is, to welcome Dr. Mary Grant to the program.
Good morning, Joe. It's great to be here with you.
Good morning. It's very nice to have you here. You know, there were murmurings for a little while and different things, and you were in runnings for different jobs, and we're like, oh God, are we going to lose her? And then, yeah, okay, no, we are okay. We dodged that bullet. And then, did it seem to you inevitable that you would end your career somewhere else?
You know, when you do something as long as I've done at MCLA, something you love, it's hard to think about it. But then when a great opportunity presents itself and you see all of the right fit, and the timing for me was important because MCLA is in great shape. It's a strong institution with a great board. So you begin to feel like, okay, I'm starting my 13th year as president. That's a long run for a college president.
Why is that? Why is that the case? Why is that? I mean, like I look at radio. Having a job in radio, I've been here for 20 years. That's unheard of. Yeah. I mean, that people don't do that. They go, and a lot of us have that track record here. But it says a lot about the place and says a lot about you that you want to be at one place for a long time.
Yeah. It's been, you know, I don't know why it is. I think that these are complicated roles and they're getting more complex all the time. Leadership is a challenging set of conditions in public higher education and higher education, period. So I think it takes the right fit between a person and an institution because it's not a job, it's a life you're committing to. So for me, this has been wonderful. It's fit. I've met great people. I've met you. I've met, you know, I've met so many wonderful people across the Berkshires. So it's been home and a wonderful fit for me professionally. So staying has always been the perfect option.
Yeah. So you could have, I mean, you could see it in your mind where you could have stayed
right
till, okay, it's time to retire and
right.
Maybe go south to Asheville. I don't know.
Right.
So,
right.
You could have done that. But you obviously feel that you can offer the institution, UNC, something as well.
Right. UNC Asheville is where MCLA and UNC Asheville are in this national cohort of schools called the Council of Public Liberal Arts Colleges. So it's a sector of schools. It's a sector of American higher education. I care deeply about public higher ed liberal arts education. And these two schools, they have a lot of values in common. So as I think about my continued work in public higher education, a commitment to a sector that I believe makes a transformational life difference is genuine. So having had the chance to do it here in Massachusetts, my home state, and now doing it in a state that has a commitment as well to public higher education on a bigger scale. North Carolina is the oldest public higher ed system in the country. It is one that is highly respected across the entire state of North Carolina. I get to learn new things. I get to take what I know from MCLA, what I've learned, the foundation I've built, apply it in another place, but still be addressing and working on issues at a national level around public higher ed liberal arts education that I care deeply about. So that's all good to have that chance to do this in a new way, in a different place, but take all I know with me.
As you said, you feel like you're leaving MCLA in a good place, and you've come a long way. The college has had wonderful growth. It's had wonderful structure. And so right now, you believe you're leaving the college in a position to go where next?
I think the college has embedded in it now is a culture of we matter, we make a difference, we connect with our communities, and this is an exceptional resource in the landscape of public higher ed in Massachusetts. So there's a profile of the institution, being in the top 10, having the faculty that we attract, having the support that we've attracted, the students who are coming to us, Joe. So I think about it's building on that foundation of excellence. It's a trajectory that makes sense for us. We know who we are. The next president gets to come in and build upon that. They get to take it to the next level, which I think is all about innovation. It's about the liberal arts really being the ticket to success in this economy that we're in. I'm excited to see what happens next. It's a fantastic board. It's a talented and deeply committed faculty. And there's a great team, a lot to build upon, and a community that cares about this institution deeply. That matters.
The fact that you graduated from there, I mean, that says a lot, doesn't it? I mean, that helps, I would think, in almost everything that you do, that you have that background. Because it's not just, this is the education I have, this is the experience I have. Oh, by the way, I'm also a product of this.
Yes. That's been one of the great ways of connecting, particularly with other alumni of the college, as we've been bringing those folks back in to support the institution in whole lots of ways, to be able to say, we're of this place. And so I think, as well as I think about my transition to North Carolina, to another public higher ed institution, to be able to give testimony to what public higher ed can do to transform one's life, that will help there as well. Won't be the same because this is my alma mater, but I do understand what these students are facing, the opportunities that they have when they find a place that fits them well.
I want to get to something that you've alluded to a couple times in our conversation. I know we've talked about it at length, but I'm always fascinated in your idea of what a liberal arts education is and sort of what we think of that and what the perception is of a liberal arts education and how you feel that is somehow mischaracterized and what it really is.
Sure. It's a great question because a lot of times we have to explain. You know, the liberal arts, in my opinion, Joe, and I think those who work in this sector, and certainly graduates, is it is the degree that prepares you for a life that we can't even imagine yet. So the ability truly to think critically, to engage with others in from different backgrounds, to be able to communicate, to write, to process, to innovate, to think. And liberal arts is not just about one narrow body. It's broad. So it encompasses the humanities, the sciences, the professions. I always like to say to students, where better to study business than at a liberal arts institution that's going to make you think about things such as moral decision-making, ethical reasoning. The guy who spoke yesterday at our convocation, graduate of the class of 1985, majored in English communications. He's now running a multi-million dollar business that focuses on it's a national business around office supplies and furniture and warehousing. English major, liberal arts graduate, hugely successful in the field of business, and he attributes his preparation to being able to go back to his liberal arts underpinning. It is the degree that sets you on a path for jobs we don't even know that exist yet.
Was it a hard sell when you say, okay, I want to spend money, and I want to spend a lot of money, and I want to really focus on science. Mm-hmm. I want to build a science center. And I want to do this. Is that a hard sell when people think, oh, okay, well, it's liberal arts, so should we really be going down this road?
Well, you know, it's this great. If you go back into the annals of time and you look at Copernicus and other great legends of scientific history, liberal arts and sciences have always been joined. It's right. A false dichotomy. And so when you think about science, it's all about inquiry. It's about curiosity. It's about problem solving. It's about working in teams. So science and innovation, creating a science center so that exploration can happen, has been a perfect fit for us, and it has been well understood. And students and families are coming in droves, and they're seeing this as one piece of who we are and realizing that we and the governor and the legislature have made a commitment to excellence in supporting our students and our faculty. When faculty are working on a research project with students, it's every bit of a liberal arts education at work. Define the problem, explain the problem, research the problem, talk about the problem, and communicate. That's all liberal arts education, inquiry, and sharing knowledge for a greater good. So it was actually a very easy argument to make.
It was an easy sell.
Yeah, it was an easy
sell.
You
use the word understood. It was something that people got.
Yes.
And how it fit.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you, and not to put you in the uncomfortable position of not being humble for a moment, but do you think it would have been understood 13 years ago?
That's a great question. And, you know, and I don't know. I hope it would have been. We certainly started making the case. I mean, we had, what happens is that when a great building gets open, we forget about the many years of making the case for it. So it was about an 8-year journey to get this done. But perhaps not. But I think right now we know who we are. We are the Commonwealth of Massachusetts designated public liberal arts college, and we're proud of that mission. And it's a distinct space for MCLA to be in. Faculty come here because of the mission and because of the incredible location of the Berkshires, and students come because of the mission and the location, and parents are sending their young people our way. And we also work with non-traditional learners, older adults who want to come back to school and have that kind of education that they maybe didn't have a chance for the first time around. So it's working for us, and we're seeing the results of it. It's terrific.
I mean, the last semester has just started, so what, but do you get a sense of what it's like being a lame duck college president?
Not yet. It's only day two. So, it's been, you know, people have been so gracious. And yesterday we did have our opening breakfast of the semester, convocation, all of the markers. And today's the first day of classes. And people have been lovely and gracious and warm. And at the same time, we have to look ahead. We have to think ahead. But I couldn't be in a better place to do that kind of work now. And we'll see what happens next week. You know, this is the first week of school.
How involved, do you get at all involved in the search?
The front end, just helping to sort of get the tactical pieces down. And then at a certain point, I have to let go. And it's in phenomenal hands with the Board of Trustees for MCLA. And they will put together a search committee that will represent the college. And what's great, Joe, is everyone on campus cares about this.
Right.
The alumni care about this. And so when you have that many people saying, we got to get this right, it will turn out good. And I think it's going to be a very competitive process.
Well, when you're one of the caring people, I just wonder, is there a point where you leave just a letter on your desk that says, here's some people you may want to talk to, here's some people you probably don't want to talk to?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know if I'd leave such a letter, but I certainly think that I'm always, first of all, I'm a graduate of the college. So as an alum, I sort of have this notion of, you know, if you don't get this right, I'm going to be very upset. but I have every confidence it will be.
Yeah.
And I really think, I look at the institution, the national reputation it has, I think this is going to attract a very strong and talented pool of candidates. And then it's about the fit, finding someone who's going to get up every day, love the work, embrace the community, take it and go to the next level. It's a great opportunity for someone.
This whole search for college presidents I find fascinating because this was just announced last month, less than a month ago, that you were going, and certainly it had been in the works for longer. But it's announced and you go and then you have a few months and you're gone. And meanwhile, that search could take a year, years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is something that's very. How long was Asheville looking?
It was. It really, the whole process was a couple of months. You know,
okay.
The woman I'm taking over from.
Because they came to you, yeah.
She's phenomenal. She's a wise leader in higher education. She's retiring. It's a strong place. So there were pieces put in place so that when they began their process, those other nuts and bolts things were set so that the search could be focused on good candidates and bringing in the best, strongest pool. And that's what we're going to try to do here, is get the tactical things that can just be mechanical so the committee, the board, the campus can focus on finding the best person.
Did it make a difference to you that they came to you?
Yeah, because you have to. These are complicated roles. I said that before. You have to really care about it. You have to be inspired by it. You know, I want to get up every day and feel like I'm in a place where I can make a difference. Asheville is a wonderful community. It's a great university. It's a strong system. It's surrounded by natural beauty. It's in many ways, there's a lot of similarities in terms of how it feels to the Berkshires. Bigger. And that feels good because I want to like where I get up every day and where I go every day and know I make a difference. And that they came and said, you know, we think you would be a great fit for us. That's inspirational. And there were other strong people in the pool too, I'm sure. It's again, at UNC Asheville is a very attractive institution. So it was a competitive process and I feel very good about the outcome.
Not to generalize, but there are often cases where you see college presidents who go into their offices and never come out. And one of the things that has always fascinated me about you and the rap on you has always been your approachability. How difficult is that? First of all, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you, how difficult is it to get out of the office and to meet with students, meet with your colleagues, and walk around the campus and be approachable? That's the first part of the question. Mm-hmm. And the second part is, you know, then do you think that you can do it at the next gig?
Yeah, I think it's the easiest part of the job, but you have to remind yourself to do it because the day can get full, can get away from you, and then suddenly the next day can get away from you.
Right.
And the best part about the job is going out and seeing the people that you work with every day. And it is a blast. It is an absolute blast to talk with students and to find out what's on their mind and catch them in the moment, to walk into the cafeteria, have a cup of coffee with someone, to just be part of the place that you are every day. And you miss something. You miss an opportunity when you don't do that. So for me, that's been whenever I need to just kind of step away and remind myself what I'm doing, I leave my office. I walk around. Sometimes my team has to come find me because it's like, she's out roaming, get her back. And so I intend to do that at Asheville too. It will be, I'll need to make sure I've got my sneakers on. It's a slightly bigger campus.
Yeah.
But I want to learn the place. I want to learn the people there just like I did here and have them get to know me too so they can be part of supporting me as I step into this new role and I know what's on their minds. You don't know if you don't go out and talk to people and spend that time with them. And these are great roles. And we work with smart people, committed people, and I want to know them. And that's been the, yesterday we had convocation and after we had a barbecue, a cookout, and that actually moved inside because of the weather. I spent an hour just going table to table talking to the incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
Had a blast. Had a blast.
And one of the things that I've always loved about what you've been able to do is that you seem to be genuinely proud of the students as opposed to proud of what the, not to say that you're not proud of what the college has accomplished, but proud of, more proud of the students than you are of the institution itself.
Yeah, I see the students come in, and that's the benefit of a school of the size of MCLA, and even the scale of Asheville will allow me to continue to know students because I can see what happens during the time there. I watch them change and flourish and be challenged and grow up right in front of us, hit their strides, learn how to fail.
Yeah.
And then watching a student recover from that sometimes is the thing that makes me the most proud. How they recover, how they move forward. And watching them develop that intellectual curiosity and confidence that comes when they're paired up with great faculty, too. So I have been very proud of the students. And when I see what they're doing now, I've got a 12-year perspective on students who have graduated. And some of them are hitting strides in their own careers and professional lives. And that's a lot of fun and rewarding.
And you're very proud.
Very proud of them.
When there are all the, we have to wrap up, but there are all these issues, of course, about higher education and the cost and so forth. And can that bog you down as a president of saying, okay, there's what I want to do, and then there are all of these other, there are the realities of this system that we have created.
Yeah. We have to keep higher ed affordable. And I think that's really the critically important work of public higher education. There has to be that balance between access and excellence. I see we're doing it, and I think we just have to stay focused. We need to continue to push for public investment because it is an investment. And when you see the results with these graduates who stay in their communities and make a difference, stay in their states, make a difference, that's an investment, Joe. So we have to keep pushing on that. And I think we have to be mindful because there are lots of messages out there about the higher ed not being affordable. And I worry that we close off the options to those very people who need to get into our doors by making them feel discouraged that this isn't for me. And that's so untrue. There's always a way we can help our students. There's always a way we can get them in the door. And we've got to keep it affordable so they don't come out burdened by debt. And we do that in public higher ed very, very well. So I think we have to just keep saying, come on in, we'll work with you. And then we have to get you out the other side so you can go on and be productive and contribute and give back. And it happens. It happens.
Do you have a house yet?
There's a chancellor's residence in North Carolina,
all right,
which is makes moving a little bit easier.
Excellent.
So that takes some of the stress out of it, but it's an exciting time. It's bittersweet because we've loved it every step of the way here, but we're looking forward to where we're going. And that's a good place to be in. It's been a great run and a real privilege to be in this role and to be part of this community.
Because both you and your husband obviously have been such a part of the community. Yeah. So he's doing all right. He's happy.
He's doing all right. He's happy. He actually said the other day, how cool is this that I get to go on this great new adventure? So he's a great guy. He's up for it. And he's part of the whole package.
Well, it's, I know I should, I try to sometimes be more unbiased, but I love you. I love what you have done in this community. I think I'm a huge fan of yours and what you have brought to this region, and I can't thank you enough for how great you've been to not only me but to the station as a whole. And while yes, it is bittersweet, I just wish you all the luck in the world.
Thanks, Joe.
It's just a delight.
Thank you, and it's been a privilege. And you know, you have been. I'm going to be bereft when I wake up. I wake up every morning with AMC. I don't know what I'm going to do. So thanks for being a part of my life and my success and for all you do for the community. It's a partnership, and you guys are great at it, too.
Well, thank you. Stream us. And
will do.
Until you find the UNC station to support down there as well. Dr. Mary Grant will finish out the fall semester at MCLA before assuming the chancellery position at UNC Asheville on January 5th. To find out more about her and the great work being done at MCLA, you can go to mcla.org, mcla.org. Dr. Mary Grant, great
Thank
pleasure.
You so much,
Thank
Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.